Blog Talk Radio.
The cars are wild. Shall break every chain. Conquering lion shall break every chain. Give him the victory again and again.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
You remember that this is going to be a unique study, the history of music, because the only way that when we study the history of music, then Brother Drew, we study, when you and I were studying together, we asked ourselves a question, and during that study, what is the first knowledge do you learn when you study Yahwehism, when you study the Father Yahwehism? The word ism is a distinct doctrine, theory, system that is practiced. That's what ism is. And when we studied Yahwehism, Brother Drew, we learned that the thing in Yahwehism was nature. Nature is the basic function of a living organism, facts and forces, reality. Meaning that when you study Yahwehism, who created what you call earth, Athara here, then he tells you how he created everything. And everything that is living on this place called Earth, the ninth planet, as we travel 1,150 miles per hour in the universe deals with nature. That's the first thing that we learned when we study Yahwehism. Nature carries with it 12 laws. The law of motion, the laws of opposite, the laws of balance, the laws of rhythm, the music of the sphinx, the rhythm of life, the rhythm of mind, the keynote, the esoteric meaning of colors, the building of the cosmos, the fourth dimension of space, the fifth dimension of space. This is the 12 laws of nature. This is the first thing that you learn about when you start studying and practicing Yahwehism. Well, Brother Dwight, what has this got to do with music? Well, if we look at the fifth law of nature, it says the music of the sphinx. So music plays a key role in nature, which is the world that we live in. And you had to understand these laws and how it operates to understand how you are created. This is called learning creation. This is how creation began. Everything begins with the first law of nature, the law of motion and vibration. And when it come into a being, the only way it can reach into a being is become the second law of nature, the laws of opposite. It has to be male and female, hot and cold. The laws of opposites. You know the laws of opposites. The third law is the most important law of all the laws, is the law of balance, meaning that you had to be balanced with the first and second law simply because of vibration. Everything in creation is vibrating. Now, let's see what it says about the first law of nature. The law of motion shows how all materials are formed merely to the product of definite rates of motion in the ether, and how even the energy and forces of nature are merely the products of definite rate of motion. The law of opposites shows the electromagnetic polar likes of all things in nature as they cause their definition, given the key of things in itself, viewing in the abstract. The law of balance shows the perfect balance of all things when the pairs of opposites are made to balance one another, thus showing the works of the laws of compensation throughout all nature. The law of rhythm shows all opposite principles to merely the positive and negative poles of the same thing. The music of the sphinx shows the music of the sphinx to be a fact in nature, and the relation of the same of astrostomic and vibration. Remember that. This is why we have to start here to deal with the history of music. Number five, and the number five is power. Always the sign of power is number five. The rhythm of life shows the nature of life and given a rhythm which results in life, meaning that this, if you are off key right here, if you, your music ain't got the right rhythm of life, then the rhythm of the mind, the next one is the keynote shows the organization and integration of all bodies due to the harmony cooperation of the vibration force consistent thing. Now, what has all of this got to do with music? Music is heard. How do you hear? Vibration has to happen. And when music is heard and it starts vibrating, what rate of speed is it vibrating in? And in 1964, they changed the tuning of all musical instruments from middle C to 440. When they did this, then they changed the rhythm and the balance of music. This is what happened when Walter Hawkins and the boys wanted to play the blues. They're the ones, your good Holy Ghost Christians, changed the music to 440 to get that sound, because that means same tuning on 440, meaning you're on G. And every time you hear G, G, in the church house, you get an emotional vibration and something go all through you. And you get the shaking and the foaming in the mouth. And the organ player, bom, 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 bom. This is vibration going into your ear. Creates emotion, putting your energy in motion. This is what has happened since 1964 up until now, because it wasn't vibrating on this in that day and period in time. It wasn't vibrating on that. We're on 440. Your heart beats 440 beats per minute. That creates all kinds of rhythmic energy in your body that puts you out of place when your body is not in tune with the rhythm of the things. Now let's go back into ancient time and look at music. What was the purpose? What was from the beginning of how music affected the mind of the people and their lifestyles? We have to undress the Euro-Gentile wisdom until we arrive in Genesis, buck stone naked, that means innocent, and may we be dressed again in what the type of music that you are supposed to be dealing with in Yahwehism. A prime era to start with is today's music. Let's take a look at our music today and experience. I'm going to tell you this experience that's speaking right now on this lecture right here. I wrote this lecture in 1998, and I had 57 years of singing the blues in a nightclub, 7 nights a week. Well, I quit playing 7 nights a week, but I still play the blues in the nightclub when I feel like I want to play. Now, what I'm telling you right here is experience. I'm not asking you to believe a damn thing. I just want you to reason with me, because what I'm saying probably going to make some people mad. But the truth will always make you mad. For 7 nights, 57 years, 7 nights a week, I play the blues in a nightclub. Let me share with you what I've seen. Let's start with the dance. The ancient fathers used the dance as a prayer through divine and holy movements. Holy movements. The first dance was called Praises to Yah. After this form of expression was accepted, then came the dance of strength and understanding. There was the holy dance of the Thanksgiving to the seasons, each season, to give thanks to Yah, meaning they on the equinox, what they just did a few weeks ago here. Cole just did it. There was prayer dances for the season of harvest, for planting, for rainfall, holy dance for births. These was what we call parties now, feasts, for marriages, for war, for hunting season, and for famine also. Dances was a holy way to express the mind, expressing of thanks to Yah, our Father. Our dances has once again become prayer and praises to the creative music in much more than a form of entertainment music, identifying with races, nationalities, and communities. Music has a high note effect on the mind, which is inside the brain, which is the computer of the mind, and can take completely control of the mind. Music can determine moods of a person or people. Music is like a thought wave that can call you to think right. It can cause you to think wrong. Just like music sound can break glasses, the loud music can shatter your mind. I don't think you heard me. Loud music, and Mahalia Jackson and another one of those, Ella Fitzgerald, could shatter the glass with a note coming out of their voice. They could do that. That's how strong they, this stuff we're talking about, music is, of sound and vibration that can come through the thought waves of this stuff, of doing right or wrong. Just like music sound can break glasses, the loud music can shatter your mind. Many entertainers, and we're going to come back to that, many entertainers promote homosexuality and sex, explicit words of sex, drug, violence, killing, polaroid music. Love have their own dress style, their own language. Let's look at some of the titles of the song, listen to, or what they promote. The butt. Joyce got a big old butt. We do that in our band. Sperm. You remember sperm? Freak. You remember La Freak? Who's making love to your old lady? What love got to do with it? Living together. I was checking out while she was checking in. Songs I used to love to sing, cheating in the next room, in between the sheets, doing the freak. Music was the original of priesthood. Now that's just some of the songs that I used to do. We're looking at the nowadays music of the hip-hop generation, the one that took you away in 1970. That's when the music changed to what it is today, and this is why you got this generation of people. If you go into the book of Proverbs, you read about an evil generation where you living with this evil generation due to music, baby cakes, due to the music. Music. Musician was the original priesthood. Unto his people he sung songs of Zion, soul music, spiritual, and lamentation. Now that's funny, Brother Drew. All my life I ain't never heard a preacher preach out of the book of Lamentation. Y'all go read that book and see what it consists of, because these are songs that some priests sung. Psalms 137 Psalms, 1st through the 6th chapter, was sung by a reggae group called the Wailers. This tells you of a generation of the seed of Abraham that would have forgotten how to sing and praise the Father in a strange land. These same people that it's talking about is found in Genesis the 15th, 13th, and 14th verse. It was asked, how should we sing in a strange land? And the answer was Jerusalem, Jericho, Jordan, and Zion. All of them is music that we used to sing a long time ago from 1955 on back. See, people born after 1955 don't know nothing about what I'm talking about. If you say sing some Zion music or Jericho music or Jordan or Jerusalem music, you don't know what to sing. You don't sing in that way today. Ask yourself, do Kirk Franklin, Walter Hawkins, the Mighty Clouds, all you religious youngsters that done come along since I wrote this, do you sing that way today? Ask yourself. Just ask yourself. Let's look at what a musician should be like. I ain't like this musician my own self. But let's see what a musician is supposed to be like. See, I ain't telling on myself, too. 1 Samuel 10, 5 through 6. These musicians played the words of Yah, the sound of Yah unto the people. The ancient knew that supernatural in a Euro-Gentile world was organized with Satan. The ancient tradition of people held no force superior to nature. They knew by the mind of truth and the works of Yah's nature have not been overdone, could not be outdone, and damn sure couldn't be redone, revised, and put into some damn white boy's goddamn version worshiping gods when Yah is your father and he told you not to worship gods if you was with him. Matthew's 7th and 15th and 20th chapter tell you to beware of false prophets and their fruit, that you would know them by their knowledge of their fruit that they bear. Now, we understand how music plays a high effect on you. Well, let's go a little deeper into this esoteric knowledge we're tracing here. And let's ask ourselves some questions. Is there black devils? Well, let's look at it. When we were studying with Elijah Muhammad said if the original man was black, then the devil was a black man. Well, he's absolutely right. When his had children, Magog, Gog, and Tubal went in the carcass of his mouth, and they were black, but they came out white. So they were some black devils. And it took the devils that once was black that turned white. It took them to 1970 to produce some black devils that would take our black children down the lane and the knowledge and the look and the style and the culture and the talk of hip hop starting in 1970 with Pop Pop, Grand Moray, Grand Teacher, Promus Maxima of hip hop, Ice-T. That was the first devil. The black devil was hard at work using music to destroy your young people today. Young musicians that was addicted, actually being hypnotized and brainwashed by the music they adore so much. You may ask how this is done. One way it's been done is by the beat of the music. Rock music, which is one of the well-known types of satanic music, uses four beats to a measure. A measure in music is the metric unit between two bars of the staff. Not this just so happened to coincide exactly with the time signature of the human heartbeat. Thus, the rock beat hits its listeners right in the gut where it works its way into the delicate system of the human body and mind. The evil one has done this down through science. How you know it? Go into the Genesis and you see Yuba, the father of music, Cain's son. Well, this white boy is the Canaanite and Cain's children that came over from the old world, these spirits, these minds, these schools of thoughts broke from the old world. Jubal is the father of the Adamites music, of how they do music. How could you believe, you not believe, that it would take the mind such highly intelligent evil spirits being or thinking to create systems that would be identical enough to penetrate the body, mind, and soul? You have to remember the black devils are alive and walking the streets just as you do. They are the opposite of Nubian and Yahweh thinking because they cast out the seed of the evil one. And we done followed hook, line, and sinker. How does the brain, the mind, get hypnotized? Well, through repetition. Now, let's look at something. In 1970, when this stuff first came out, you had a jam box. And you were holding it up on your shoulder, jamming. Then the old devil, he looked at you and he said, now we got to penetrate the mind a little better than what we're doing. So we're going to get some earphones. So you was introduced to earphones, one earphone, only one at first. In the beginning, it was just one earphone. As he studied you, and he noticed that how he was penetrating your mind over repetition. See, when this vibration, see, of the mind, you got an earplug in your ear, and he found out that when he give you two earplugs now, so he really got you jumping in both ears. It's going in the ear. This make your brain overload by hearing sound repetition over and over, loud music over and over. It puts your brain on an overload. It shuts down. Your brain shuts down to that you can't understand or see or hear anything but this music. you'll walk into a car. Nothing. You can't hear nothing. Your brain is on shutdown. You only hear what your brain is overloading on. This is how the great white scientists worked on you in genocizing you. This is part of the science of eugenics that they used on us. I'm a mutation. Some of us became mutation. See, repetition voids the brains and works on your nervous system. By this I mean that the brain become comfortable with hearing the same sound or beat over and over and over. When you shake your leg, you can get to a point where your leg is shaking on its own after you try to stop it. In music, your body is in a trance. Hell, I can put my body in a trance, Brother True. You know that. She done seen me on the stage. Musicians get caught up in the beats and they open themselves up to crawl in. Every time a beat repeats itself, another being crawls in. These beings travel and vibrate on the A note and are moving on a sound wave that can travel straight down through the headphone wires into your mind, which is very vulnerable. Are these beings, we're dealing with beings, because of one of these, they think they cannot be possessed by these musical demons. They take fully control of your very emotion. Prince is one of the many people who was responsible for kids running their lives. I know some of y'all don't like what I just said. What these children don't know is that Prince didn't make himself Prince. And A&R man and his record company decided that it needed a product. See, a product. Understand me, a product. See, I've been a product in the music industry, meaning that I was born in America, made in America, educated in America, for America's use. And in 2014, they done used my ass up and yours too. And they produced what they would be an image of Prince, so that they put him out and he lured children every day. He lured innocent children who might have been doctors, lawyers, scientists, or the child who might have become anything. But he wanted to be a singer. Booker T. Washington wrote a book in 1869, and he said that when he was assessing him and whatchamacallit was going at each other's throat up there in that history. I do that history sometimes. He said that the downfall of the black man was the piano. He said it seemed like that it was just natural for the black slaves in every house, he said, had a piano in it. We'll go through that book one of these days. And he said that every house had a piano in, Brother Drew, and everybody knowed how to piano. He said that this was the downfall of black people at that day. They didn't want to be sharecroppers. They didn't want to be nothing but entertainers for white people. They didn't want anything in life other than to entertain white people. That's, they wanted to sing for the white folks, dance, put on blackface, whiteface. They wanted to entertain white folks. They wanted to be, what was his name, Chicken George. That's who they wanted to be. Your children idolized Prince. They dressed up like him. They tried to dance, sing, walk, talk like Prince. Some were so obsessed that they would go as far as wanting to live in a purple house, driving a purple car and wearing only the color purple. And don't say it didn't happen, because, shit, they got articles on this. I just did research on it. They spend their whole lives trying to find out everything about him and to give up their own lives only to fall in this mission of to become Prince. this not only applied to Prince, it applied to Michael Jackson, y'all. Is another example of an entertainer who had led children off the path. Kids had become and Michael Jackson impersonated him. The hair, they try to look like him, talk like him, get nose things. See what I'm talking about? This is the present day music world that we're living in, created by grandchildren, but genocized by the white devil, and he got it, finally made him some black devils that followed him and put him up under this spell that we're living in. See, and they trick you with certain words. That goes for sports and anything you dealing with white folks in entertainment. See, my daddy used to tell me, Drew, that if you talk to a black man, if you ain't talking about sex, sports, and entertainment, that's as far as his knowledge goes. So white boy gave you that, and you wanted to be that, a one word, a star. He used the word star. By the way, the stars is a five-point star. That's a symbol of Satan, if you know what I'm talking about. If you're dealing with Santana, he has the five-pointed star. But they wanted to make a star out of you. And it was, they give you this in religion. These stars have been incorporated into religion. It's almost every religion and nation, there is a star that is being acknowledged. They have you worshiping these stars, and you don't know, even know it. Stars are also using the entertainment word. Another basic word is shooting for the stars. So basically, everybody is a star worshiper. Once you sell a million records or your movies shoot up to the top of the chart, they call you what? A star. And you do a movie and you perform and it's worth winning a Grammy or an Oscar. That's the label, you a star. You even get a star or Hollywood Walk of Fame. Now you a superstar. And you have made your way to stardom. You are the number one source on your team. You're the number one scholar. You're the number one scorer on your team. Therefore, you are, they give you, you are star of the team. And that's why they called you a star. But Daddy told me one thing about a star. Brother Drew, Daddy told me when I became a star in football. He told me, he looked me when I was getting ready to go to college. He said, I want you to remember something, boy. He said, I looked at you when you was a booty butt. He said, you remember when you was in, I was teaching you how to play football and you was in the little league and you was playing football? He said, you was a booty butt. He said, and then when you got to the ninth grade, he said, I told you, I gave you ultimatum, and either you make the first team or your football career was ended. And so you became a star. When you graduated from school, you had many scholarships. He said, and then you went off to college, you made All-America, and you became a superstar. He said, but the only thing that you didn't know is that all of this stardom, you will once become a fallen star, meaning that when you can't do what you used to could do, they put you in the Hall of Fame, and say that you can no longer do it, you a fallen star. Daddy say, that's when you realize, boy, that you still a goddamn booty butt, because you started as a booty butt and you can't do what you used to do. You're just another booty butt that the white man done used up. I thanked him for that knowledge many years later. Is it possible for you to pick up music demons from the artists if they have been possessed by beings who crawl into them while recording? It does not matter if Snoop Dogg, Get Doggy, Maria Cabin, the Cameo, the Whispers, Earth, Wind, and Fire. I know y'all don't like some of the names I'm calling, but, you know, these are the names that I grew up with. Whatever demon that they came in contact with, spiritual mood, they came in under, they put that into their musical instrument and singing. Whatever mood that they was off into. After 1964, the vibration of music, the grid of sound changed from vibrating on 8 and was moved up to 440. This means that the music in note A was an A frequency of 440 hertz or cycles per second on the fifth optic. Instruments such as the piano was first tuned on middle C, but now they are tuned on 440, which is 55 times faster than what it should be. It has been sped up 442. By doing this, they also speed up time. Every 10 years, the music changes. If you go back 10 years to 1985, what type of music was popular then? People like Madonna, Prince, Michael Jackson, Janet Jackson all came in dancing and singing. Well, it's back up 10 years. That would take you to 75, and there was groups such as disco. They sung that kind of music that their mothers and fathers said, now that wasn't real music. Now let's back up to my day and time, real music and time, 1965. This was the era of Pharo, Miles Davis, Sonny Rollins, Oldenkirk, Brass Construction, Rita Franklin, Motown, the Commodores. Man, look at here. Look at that music. Then let's go back to 1955. Music like Jane Brown, Chuck Berry, Brooke Benton, Sam Cooke, The Drifters, Smokey Robinson, The Miracles, Stevie Wonder, Gladys Knight and the Pimp, Chubby Checker, Patti LaBelle, and the Blue Bells. You remember the Blue Bells? The Staple Singers. Frankie Lyman.
Got 2 minutes.
And the Teenagers. Sir?
Down to 2 minutes.
Okay. We're going to have to continue this because, see, look at the change in the music of the present-day music. Your music carries with you an attitude and a personality. And we can go all the way. We're going back to 1945 with Billie Holiday and Cab Calloway, Nancy Wilson, Nat King Cole. Listen to that music. It ain't like you was listening to, your baby was listening to in the present day. The next week, we'll continue this next week, Brother Drew. Shalom Hakeem.
All right. Shalom.